Yes, sir.
All right. Okay. I think we're all back and ready to go, so we'll get going again. The couple items that I skipped over dealt with the audit committee, so we'll jump back up there and get those taken care of. There was a, at our last meeting, we formed an audit committee. This, something came up related to this after the fact. And all I can say is there's nothing I can do about it now. We've notated it for future, and but I made a mistake, and when we form a committee, we can only, if that committee consists of three or more of us, that committee now falls underneath public meeting law.
Mm-hmm.
This committee that we formed in May had three of us. So the meeting that we actually had did not follow all the normal requirements of a public meeting. Want to be upfront that occurred. We're going to review everything that we have here. We're going to open this up for discussion and continue the process here. But that did occur, and it's been noted so that we don't let that slip again in the future. So I have a report here from the audit committee. So audit committee recommendations for financial review, June 25th, 2016. That was the night of that's the night I wrote it, I guess. The audit committee that was formed at the May 7th NCBVI board meeting. Andrea, I'll give you this. You don't have to type the whole thing. The audit committee that was formed at the May 7th NCBVI commission board meeting, along with Dr. Pearl Van Zandt and Bill Brown, shared ideas and reviewed example financial report options this past month via email and met via a conference call on the evening of June 23rd. The following recommendations are a result of those shared ideas and that conference call. And again, this was all related to the state auditor recommending that we have a greater role of oversight in the financial transactions of and budget process of the organization. So there was four items here. So one, is recommended that a permanent finance committee be formed consisting of three members of the commission board, NCBVI's executive director, and business manager. NCBVI's executive director and business manager should serve as advisors to this committee. The financial committee should meet via conference call as often as necessary, but no less than quarterly. Two, it is recommended that NCBVI's business manager be asked to supply the finance committee with monthly budget status reports, as well as a monthly categorical spending report. It is recommended that the NCBVI administration be asked to give the finance committee 7 days notification before making purchases over $50,000. Included with this notification will be an explanation of the funding sources for this purchase and its impact to the budget. Four, it is recommended that NCBVI administration be asked to brief and review the commission's budget with the finance committee each year as the budget is being developed. Now, that's kind of a typo, because we have a biennium budget, so really it's every other year, I would think. But, so that's the report, or that's the report from the audit committee. And so I guess that's the first item. The second item here was discuss and act on the report of the audit committee. Now, a couple things that I want to share a little bit regarding this, and I want to open this up for any other comments from the board and what your thoughts are. But in speaking with the Commission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing a little bit more, and also our discovery of my mistake with the three commission board member rule, I'm thinking that perhaps it might be in best interest to our organization at this time not to form a permanent finance committee, but to work with to utilize the entire board at this point, instead of breaking off two or three of us, a small group of us, to work as a finance committee. There's a couple reasons for that. One, I believe that we can still work with and ask Bill to provide us some financial reports on a regular basis, just like Dr. Van Zandt provides us with information on an ongoing basis in between meetings. If for some reason a matter were to occur that required immediate review or immediate discussion, there are provisions within open meeting law that allow us to convene an emergency meeting if we need to, for some reason, via conference call for a specific subject. We've done that once in my memory for something related to this, approving the state plan. But we do have a mechanism to do that if we need to. If we were to form a subcommittee, specifically of three people, every time to protect or we would need to abide by open meeting law rules, and not that that's a bad thing, but for what we're trying to accomplish and the length of time those meetings would probably take, it's an awful lot of additional work for our staff that might not have that much payoff. Mm-hmm. So I think that we already have an item on our quarterly meeting agendas to handle a budget update, and that we would be able to ask Bill those questions, we could ask Bill to maybe go over the our budget status at that time. We will, of course, already seen monthly budget status reports. And so, we can go into a little bit more detail with him at our quarterly meetings, and it would not put additional work onto Kathy to publicize and organize and then do additional minutes and all the other things that come along with a public meeting. Some of the other organizations, like the Commission for the Deaf, that do utilize a subcommittee structure, they have additional commissioners. I think the Commission for the Deaf actually has 9 commissioners on their board. Wow. And so for them to have a 3-member committee is no big deal, because it takes, I think according to public meeting law, 5 to make a quorum, but they'd say 6. I think they have something in something else that tells them that they have to have 6, but nonetheless, they're able to facilitate that a little differently. So, So that's, I guess, one comment that I have about that. I don't know if anybody else has any ideas around the structure of this. Do we need to, do you think we need to be able to...
So you want to...
To dig into this more and have, you know...
I don't know that...
Longer discussions than what might be we're able to accomplish at our quarterly meetings?
No, I don't, personally don't think, you know, for what we kind of agreed that we're going to review just the reports that Bill sends out monthly mm-hmm. and stuff like that, I honestly don't see the need for a subcommittee.
Okay.
I mean, it's, you know, like you said, there's going to be times during quarterly meetings that we can ask Bill stuff. Plus, we can always ask him via email after the reports if we see something,
right.
You know, what's this or that. And, mm-hmm. you know, once we get kind of a layout, since everything's brand new, you know, just like the original conference call we did.
Right.
I don't see us, other than some freak emergency, I don't see us ever needing to have conference calls.
Right.
Any more than what we already have.
Okay.
And so I guess I wouldn't think we need necessarily that subcommittee.
Okay.
And, you know, even though there might only be a couple of us that ever really question a whole lot anyways, just because I know Robert loves numbers, and he ain't. But, you know, that's what
Mark,
I'm saying.
Mark over here,
that's
admittedly,
Mark.
Was the numbers man.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And you know, so... we, as a board, we all have our strengths and all have our weaknesses. Some care more about certain things than others, and I think just leave it kind of how it is right now.
Okay. Anybody else have any?
I think we should give it a try, what you're proposing, yeah.
Okay.
Because those of us who maybe don't quite have that bent of curiosity or disability will definitely learn through the observing those of you who do the process that you take us through.
Okay.
I think the intentions were good, but what Chad and Robert said, are,
okay.
I agree with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. one of the other things here that I wanted to comment on, based on additional input from the Commission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing, and my conversations with them were based on trying not to, you know, going on there, since it's something they've been doing for a while, hopefully, you know, gaining something from their experiences and lessons learned, and us not having to maybe go through some pains of reinventing the wheel, so to speak. In item number 3 here, we asked that, and I guess this isn't even a recommendation, I'm just kind of curious what everybody's thoughts are. We ask that 7 days notice be given to the Finance Committee. In this case now, it's going to be the board. But 7 days notice be given before making purchases over $50,000. And when we had our conference call, I was trying to probe Pearl and Bill as to, you know, trying to figure out what that number would be. Would it, you know, was $30,000 too low? Was that something that was occurring on a regular basis and would be something that they'd be having to come to us all the time? Or was $50,000 too much, you know, or whatnot? When I brought up that topic to the Commission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing, they have a very similar policy with their administration, but it's worded a lot looser, and I don't have the exact wording, but they didn't share the exact wording with me. It was a written policy, but it's something along the lines of purchases outside of the norm, and also included with that are purchases that might raise public question. For instance, their in the blindness community, there are two consumer organizations, and there's some level of animosity between the two. In talking to the Commission for the Deaf of Hard of Hearing, it sounds like the deaf community have a similar situation. And for instance, they decided to bring one of those groups in to do some training for their staff at one point in time. And they, knowing that somebody might bring up, why are you doing that? Why did you, you know, why didn't you use this other group? Why, you know, anything that might bring public scrutiny, they brought that to the board so that the board was aware of it, understood why they were making the decision that they're making, and, you know, so it might not have even been an expense that was for a great sum of money, but it was something that might bring attention to the organization. Whether it be something like that, kind of internal to the community, or if it would have been something that would have been more journal star, front page, a type of attention. So that's kind of the loose policy that they have, and I guess I was kind of curious what the rest of the board thought about that in relation to what we had kind of talked about on the phone.
Yeah, I think the $50,000 we determined was kind of a good number, because there weren't, I can't even, other than I think Bill said the new file sharing system, if and whenever that gets to the point of purchase.
It was the client management software.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that would be one thing, but there again, we already know that that's going to be coming.
Right.
And so, you know, 7 days is doesn't matter there, but, and then the only other thing that since then I've thought of was that might be a big purchase was the copy machine, but I don't know if that's leased or purchased or how that even works. So, you know, that's here nor there, but, you know, there's not going to be that many big purchases, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's I was curious if there was any thought about, you know, trying to stick with something that's like a, you know, a fixed dollar amount, or if it was, you know, more of a of an intent policy versus a etched in stone number.
I like how you described what the Commission for the Deaf, how they had it worded. So I like that approach the best.
Yeah, I do like that better than a hard number anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could still kind of tie them both together, but sure. Something that's abnormal, you know, an abnormal purchase or something that's going to raise suspect, then.
Right.
Well, and just that one point of, you know, bringing in someone from one particular subgroup that works with them. Anyways, it could be like $10,000 that's spent for something that could be questioned.
Right.
Seen as like, well, this seems a little unfair, slanted, whatever.
Right.
So we shouldn't really have a dollar amount.
Sure. I see your point.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be an either. I think in their regard, it's kind of an either. It's kind of a twofold thing. Whether it be an expenditure that's out of the norm, meaning either something that they never ever buy, and for some reason are, or something that's an unusually high purchase, a high dollar amount. So that kind of plays into the norm, outside of the norm.
Like that other commission that was on, got in trouble when they had they brought in a speaker for like $95,000 or something.
Nice.
Like that.
The travel.
That raised some eyebrows.
Right.
I'd do it way cheaper than that.
Yeah. A little happy at our event.
Well, we know what you are. We got a prize. Yeah.
And so I think they're kind of doing it twofold. So it's an unusual purchase. So either
a high dollar amount or an unusual item.
Yeah.
And then second to that was something that would draw attention, or, you know, unwanted attention.
Mm-hmm.
So we could definitely work that in several different ways. I mean, we could leave the dollar amount in there and add something about something that might be questioned by the public if they were to examine and see that or become aware of it.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes?
I have a question. Whichever way you go as far as the specifics,
yep.
Where my curiosity goes to is, are you specifically saying that it would be that decision, that expenditure would need to be approved by the board, or just making sure that we're informing the board?
Informing the board.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So okay. I believe, and this is, we did talk about this on the conference call, so I'm glad you're bringing it up. There is a requirement that the board be notified 7 days prior. Now, if the board were to find issue or potentially find issue with that, then the board could call an emergency board meeting.
Okay.
And we could deal with that.
Okay.
If we do not do anything within 7 days, you've done what you needed to do, you notified us.
Oh, okay.
And you can move forward.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Okay. I don't want to tie your hands. I don't.
That's, main concern. Yeah. Not so much the you in being involved, but another step of, because usually a lot of these things have to go through purchasing or some of those issues. Mm-hmm. We don't want to add another step that would keep us from getting.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
We're supposed to help the process.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to
yes.
make it more difficult.
Yeah, we don't want to micromanage.
Yeah.
Well, it's just to cover everybody's button in case someone were from the public or whatever does find out you guys did something, and then they come to us and go, well, we have no idea.
Yeah.
This is controversial. We had no idea.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Good point.
Well, I guess I understand the transparency point of it and some of the benefits, but I guess I'm not one that likes to create too many procedures and policies. And while I oppose it, I understand it. So.
Okay.
But wasn't this just I'm not sure who quite said this. This is kind of what whoever audited us said. The commission, board of commissioners, need to have some more say, need to be more involved in this. So it's because of that. This is
that's correct.
One of our ways of covering.
The audit committee was indicated that we needed to have a greater role, a greater involvement in the review of the, and I'd have to go pull out the report to get the exact wording.
So that's what brought this whole about.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's an issue personally to me because, to be blunt and honest, as the chairperson, I don't want it to go by again. Looking back on the history of the audit committee, it has been an issue since we became a commission. And every time there's an audit, the same thing is on their report.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's time to end that.
Yeah, I agree.
So
very good, sir.
They I don't want to let it slide again. So I wanted us to get something in place. It doesn't have to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect that being that this is a new thing for us, it's going to take a little bit of time to get comfortable with the with whatever process. It might take some back and forth with Bill to get reports formatted in a way that's meaningful and works well for all of us. So I'm sure that this is going to be a work in progress for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
And what, you know, at first, as we're beginning this process, it's going to probably take a little more time at our quarterly board meetings than it might in times after that. Also, it might entail maybe us getting together on a conference call, which as a training to review, to understand the format of those reports, maybe the first month or two, mm-hmm. to make sure that we understand how they're formatted, how to read them, mm-hmm. so we understand what we're looking at.
Yeah.
So it might take a little bit of time up front here at first, but
can we get away with doing a conference call and saying it's a training?
I don't want to word it that way, but the public meeting policy allows us to have a training as long as there's not any substantive decisions and discussions occurring. It needs to be just that. It's a training to learn how to do something.
Well, and it would be. So.
And this would definitely fit that.
Yes. Yeah. And we have done these before. Actually, specifically for this topic, at a higher level, how is the organization funded? You know, understanding, you know,
money
comes in. How the money, you know, so much from the state, so much from the feds, mm-hmm. Realignment, maintenance of effort, all of those concepts and things. We've discussed those on conference calls before, as a training so that we understand the concepts behind finance. So, okay. Yes, that's something that we can do.
Okay.
So, I don't know, any other thoughts about how this could work or how you think this should work? I think the idea is just that we're aware of what's going on. We're aware. We're not trying to get into a situation where we're micromanaging and approving, being as one of the approvers in the financial process, but mechanisms like this allow us to understand the budget and how we're working through the budget on an annual basis. So, you know, we can see how much of funding we have left to make it the rest of the year, or is money getting tight? Mm-hmm. If we're going to make a substantial purchase, how's that going to affect us? And because of that, is money going to get tight? Or is it something that we've planned for and budgeted for, and so it's not a big deal?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what we're trying to get at, so that we keep an eye on what money's in the bank, and not that we're trying to be involved in okay the Office Depot staple order. So. Mm-hmm. Any other comments or questions? Or at some point we'll need to. I would like it if we could move. If somebody would be willing to make a motion, and I think because of the discussion here, you'll need to describe what your motion is when you make it. I don't normally make them, but I will in this case if you want me to.
Go ahead.
Okay. I would move that. I'm looking at each one of these four points. I And I think the first one, because of our discussion, is null and void. That's the one about forming a finance committee.
Right.
So that's not even applicable. The second one was related to reports. So I would move that we ask the NCBVI business manager to supply the commission board with monthly budget status reports, as well as monthly categorical spending reports. I would also move, right here, excuse me, that would make two motions.
Or an addition.
Yeah. In addition, thank you, Robert, mm-hmm. that the NCBVI administration give the board 7 days notice prior to making purchases I didn't really get a consensus from you guys about a dollar amount versus
I think it was just any purchase, you know, that would be potentially
it's
controversial and,
okay.
and the nature or the okay. amount of expenditure.
Okay. I'm glad you're typing this, Adrian, because I'm going to have you read it back to me when we're done. So in addition, we would ask that the NCBVI administration, or that we would require that the NCBVI administration give the Board of Commissioners 7 days notification prior to making any purchases of an abnormal nature. And I guess that's intentionally vague.
Yeah.
Or that would be seen as controversial. Finally, we would ask. Oh, it's here. Oh, here. Finally, we would ask that the NCBVI administration brief the commission board during the budget. Brief the commission board regarding the full budget during the budget process, during the budget development process. Can you read that back, please?
Yeah.
That's all right, take your time. I did.
That we ask the NCBVI business management to supply business board monthly business status reports as well as monthly, something reports addition.
Okay. So it would have been categorical spending reports was the second one.
In addition, that we require the NCBVI administration to give the board 7 days notice prior to making purchases of an abnormal nature, or that would be seen as controversial. Finally, we would ask that the NCBVI administration brief the commission board regarding the full. Sorry, my typing gets off.
Okay.
Full budget during the budget development process.
Okay.
Second.
Okay.
Read that last sentence.
I struggled with that a little bit too.
Went starting with finally.
Finally, we would ask the NCBVI administration brief the commission board regarding the full budget during the budget development process. And I think that's what I meant.
During the biennium budget development process.
Are you at discussion point yet?
I'm going to be in a minute.
Okay. Is that new, or is that still just what they do already?
That is new, because it would not, I don't feel today that we are not at the level that I'm envisioning that.
Right.
Okay. Where we are given the budget that we're able to sit there, because for instance, we've talked about this before, that the commission board is a budget item, I'm sure it is, that there is a, that they have figured in how much, on an estimate, how much is the commission quarterly board meeting is going to cost the commission this year? Mm-hmm. How much is per diem going to cost for Robert Newman this year? How much is, you know, all of those items, those are, we would see the full budget detailing those different types of categories and what they are estimating, what they're budgeting for those different categories. For travel, for
that's good, because the Nebraska governments were accountable. So.
When we talk about a categorical spending report, categorical spending report, in my mind, that's hitting those budget items. Mm-hmm. You know, we allocated so much for commission board meeting, quarterly board meetings this year. Well, when you have a categorical spending report, you see how much you spent in the last month regarding that category. Mm-hmm. And that helps us to know how much we have left on the budget, in that category that we estimate that we're going to spend. Does that help answer your question about the review of the budget and what I'm thinking that we would see?
Yes. Okay. It does.
I imagine that while the budget, I'm sure, changes from year to year, that the starting point of next year, of the next budget, is probably the last budget. And there's a review process that goes back and says, we know that, or we're anticipating the pre-ETS change, so we need to allocate more money in this category instead of this other one. Mm-hmm. That, we ended up opening a new office in Ogallala. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to allocate some more money here for rent or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, that they're going to use the last budget as a starting point, and they're going to modify it. Mm-hmm. And so, I would be interested in hearing that process that they went through during a budget review process. And there's no plans to open an office in Ogallala. So.
Yeah, don't be starting rumors again.
Discussion?
Discussion.
Okay. Would the motioner consider doing line by line? Because I agree with two out of three of them. So, but I don't want to have to be forced to agree with all of them.
That's fine. Adrian?
Yes.
Can you please change each of those? So there's three sections, and I was doing it as one motion. Can you please change those to three motions?
Thank you.
And we'll reread those when you're done.
Okay. Motion that we ask NCDVI business manager to supply the business board monthly report, business status reports, as well as monthly categorical spending reports.
Okay, that's motion one.
Second.
No, not yet.
Oh, you don't want to vote on?
I don't want to do that yet.
Oh, okay.
I apologize.
And then another one?
Yes.
A motion that require the NCDVI administration give the board 7 days notice prior to making purchases of an abnormal nature or that would be seen as controversial. A motion that we would ask the NCDVI administration brief the commission board regarding the full budget during the biannual budget development process.
Okay. Becky, does the third one sound a little better?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we'll do these one at a time. Is there any other further discussion?
Thank you.
Okay. So I so move the first one.
Second.
Okay, so a roll call vote. Chad?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Mark?
Aye. Yes.
Becky?
Yes.
And I say yes. Okay. So that passes. So that one was providing the reports. The second one is the one regarding notification. So I so move the second one that we structured so carefully.
Second.
Okay, Robert has seconded that. Roll call vote. Chad?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Mark?
No.
Becky?
Yes.
And I say yes.
Okay.
All right. Okay. And you ready? Good. Okay. The third one was the one regarding review of the budget during the budget development process. So I so move the third item that we carefully structured, the third motion that we carefully structured.
Second.
Okay. Chad has seconded that. Roll call vote. Chad?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Becky?
Yes.
And I say yes. Okay. Okay, great. That takes care of that. And that is all the old business. So, we're only half an hour late. Moving on to the new business.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, ma'am.
It occurred to me that when I was talking about the budget part at an earlier item on the agenda, mm-hmm. I thought of talking about reallotment, and I think I forgot to do that.
Okay.
So the reallotment is the process where states that can't fully match their
right.
federal funds have to send it back. Other states that do match can request more. And it's due, I believe it's August 14th. We met the other day, and we will be requesting an additional $750,000 for the basic support VR grant.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't mean we'll get that much, but that is what we'll be able to match and that we'll request.
Okay.
Thank you.
Question.
Yes.
When we talk about reallotment, does the money that we get granted through reallotment go against us in future, or get factored in future years for maintenance of effort?
It can, and in the calculations for deciding how much we will request or might request, Bill takes a look at where we are with that impact,
okay.
and figures out if, you know, that's part of the equation that he looks at.
Okay. That's all right. I'm glad you added that. Let's see here. Okay.
That's all I had. Thank
all right.
You.
So moving on to new business. There was on here is a discuss language of the policy on commissioner attendance at consumer conventions. I'm going to read through what our current policy is, and so that we can, I guess, ponder that for just a minute. There was some questions that came up about this since our last meeting. Actually, to be honest, I think they came up the morning of our last meeting.
And I emailed those questions to you just a little bit ago.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. So... Okay, attendance at consumer conventions. This is our current policy. As out of our guidebook, so our junior woodchuck guidebook. Recognizing that the commissioners serving on the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired, you don't have to type this. This is all in something that you have access to. You can just cut and paste it out. Visually impaired serve those people in the state who are blind. It is important for board members
to be in touch with the people we serve. Attendance at consumer conventions, whenever possible, is one way to measure the pulse of the blind Nebraskans. While not required, it is a great listening opportunity when commissioners attend the state ACB and NFB conventions. It is also important for board members to attend the national conventions of these groups to understand the philosophy of each organization, as well as how these organizations affect policy in each state. And then here's the policy. One, any active board member may request financial reimbursement for attendance at two national and two state organization activities in their four-year term. This would include the state conventions of the ACB or NFB and national conventions of these two organizations. Okay. Two, board members attending these conventions would have their travel, hotel, meal, and registration expenses paid for in accordance with state regulations by the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Whether or not a board member could attend the activity would ultimately depend on the budget of the agency. Oops. Three, approval of attendance will be accomplished by a member requesting funds in a public meeting of the Board of Commissioners, a reason why he or she wanted to attend the event, followed by majority approval of the commission of the other commissioners. Four, upon the completion of the trip, a report no more than one page in length shall be generated to the commissioners and the executive director and shall be presented at a public meeting of the Board of Commissioners, thereby making it part of the public record via the minutes. Five, per diem will not be paid for these events. And I believe that was the last of it. Yes. Do you have the questions that you were just take care of it? Can you read me the questions you have?
The ones that I emailed everyone earlier? Okay. Okay, question one. Does the 140, okay, so one was $145 a day, I think, was allocated for something. So my question was, does that cover expenses for the hotel room, meals, registration, and banquet ticket? So I didn't know what all the $145 covered.
So I think that's part of number two here. The board members in attendance attending the convention will have their travel, hotel, meal, and registration expenses paid for in accordance with state regulations. Now, where I think that there is a difference of the written policy and how it's has been enacted is that the policies, the way it reads, states that the expenses will be paid in full. That's the way I interpret it.
Yeah, but then where does the $145 come in at? You know,
right. There, every year, the commission makes a determination of what it can afford to pay
per day
towards expenses for the staff that go.
Okay.
And so we have been working on. We've been following the policy of we've been following the guidelines that have been set forth for the staff, mm-hmm. and not specifically what has been in this paragraph. Mm-hmm. Dr. Van Zandt, does that agree with what?
Right. The part that relates to in accordance with the state regulations, that would be things like the amount you can have for lunch or incidentals. And that's all given no matter whether it's full support or partial.
Right.
Those
right.
have to be. The part that really is kind of implied there that I always understood But that really isn't stated.
It doesn't say in full, but...
Right. But that it would be also, that would stay the same. You'd keep that the way the regs are.
Right.
And in accordance with that annual determination of what support will be for staff.
So, does that start to answer your question? Because I could see a wording change that needs to be done here to make what is written here actually mesh with what has been,
how
it's been implemented. But your question was about, you know, does that $145, which is what the staff is what in for this year might have been what was allocated on a per day basis to the staff for expenses. So it can be, the answer would be, it could be towards any of those things.
Okay. That's right? Why I was just wondering, you know, if you add up the hotel, the meals, registrations, and the banquet, and then do you divide those by how many days you were there, and that's where you come up with the 145?
Actually, the registration for a conference and banquet fee, the commission covers
something
those
different.
In full.
Okay, all right.
I forgot to mention that.
Yeah,
and so then it would be those other more like per diem costs that would be...
And that would be the travel, right?
Travel, lodging, meals.
Okay. I think that is what needs to be stated differently. That's less so much less confusing when you put it that way.
But that is based on the statement that's given, the determination every year, correct?
Yeah, right.
You might decide next year that we're not going to cover registration a full, we're going to cover half the registration, or I mean, so.
Oh, well, that's probably true. That could change. Typically, we've always done it that way, but you're right, it could.
So, I guess I was thinking that it would stay the way it is, but that there'd be something added in here in accordance with what has been allotted
for each years.
It's not
for
policy
each staff member.
As much as the annual determination.
Yeah, what has been determined
each,
will be covered for staff members attending the
and
same
it
convention.
It probably needs to be reviewed annually, obviously.
Right.
And that policy is.
Yes.
Or that, I'm sorry, that determination.
Yeah.
Yes.
And before a person would ask, I mean, that needs to be
you're right.
A person needs to go over it before, you know, so that.
And you can, a commissioner should feel comfortable asking, and we can say you go. But if the determination hasn't been given yet, and then when the determination rolls around, if you decide that financially it's not feasible for you to attend with what's being covered that particular year, you're not obligated.
Right. And that's what when I talked to Kathy, I said, you know, there's all my receipts, whatever's covered is covered, whatever's not is not. So, you know, and I was okay with it.
Okay.
Well, I don't
know
what.
We certainly don't want to give a wrong impression, so it's really good that you asked those so we could make the statement better.
Right. What I think I have an idea on that one. But what was the second question that you got?
Also if the cost of the airfare is included in the 145 or if that is my own expense.
Okay, so, well that kind of rolls up into all this. That was all the questions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just a couple questions.
So we would probably want to, just figure out a reword in here.
Because traveling by car is a little bit different expense than traveling by air.
Right.
And
I mean, same type of
well,
same
and
thing.
Staff yeah. have the same question, and sometimes they'll carpool and drive to, like, if it's Dallas or Minneapolis.
Sure.
And
staff members will find roommates to make their lodging cheaper.
Yes.
They'll
right.
find
right.
Yeah.
Sure.
They'll let me eat their desserts.
One year I went, I brought peanut butter and jelly with me, and that cut down on my food expenses.
Right.
We went to a grocery store and bought food for meals. Yeah. We did too, That's
I was making sandwiches up in my hotel room.
Hotel meals are not cheap.
Board members attending the convention, attending the conventions would have their travel, hotel, meal, and registration expenses paid for in accordance with state regulations and
how about internal determination agency, internal agency
internal
and something needs to be said
determination
about reviewed annually.
Annual internal determination. It is a little, but it just clarified clarification.
Oh yeah.
And internal determination of coverage of staff expenses. See how this reads. The board members attending the convention. Don't worry about writing anything yet. The board members attending the conventions would have their travel, hotel, meals, and registration expenses paid for in accordance with state regulations and internal determination of coverage of staff expenses by the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Now, that doesn't have anything yet about your annual review.
To be reviewed annually.
And when you say meals, does that include the banquet ticket, or does that need to be included, too? Because
It's either a meal or it's part of the registration, so that's it's covered.
But it's a different cost. Okay.
And that would be part of that annual determination is whether or not that would be covered.
Right.
Which category would fall into.
Okay.
But in one category or the other, they're both categories.
Right? Okay.
So, blind and visually impaired. Let's see here. And then so another sentence here. The internal determination of coverage will be reviewed annually by commission administration.
Okay.
Internal determination of in accordance with state regulations and internal determination of coverage of staff expenses by the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired, the internal determination of coverage of staff expenses will be reviewed annually by the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired Administration. Whether or not a board member could attend the activity would ultimately depend on the budget of the agency.
Does that mean, okay.
Yep.
Happy to read that to you if you would like. Okay.
Email it to her.
I will email it to you. How about that?
Just email it.
Yes. Okay. So I move that we reword bullet point number two of the commissioner attendance of consumer convention policy to read, board members attending the conventions would have their travel, hotel, meal, and registration expenses paid for in accordance with state regulations and internal determination of coverage of staff expenses by the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired. The internal determination of coverage of expenses for the staff will be reviewed annually by the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired Administration. Whether or not a board member could attend the activity would ultimately depend on the budget of the agency. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All right. Roll call vote. Chad?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Becky?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Done. I will email it to you.
I do have a question, too.
Yes, ma'am.
On there, it said every 4 years. So if a person would seek a second term,
the counter resets.
So, okay.
So you are allowed to request, I'm sorry, you're allowed to be funded to go to two national conventions and two state conventions in a 4 year term. If you seek reappointment, then you are allowed two more additional national conventions and two more state conventions.
Okay.
So it's per term.
Just clarifying that, okay.
Absolutely.
And if I could add, it should, I don't know that it needs to be written, but sometimes a commissioner is appointed to fill the rest of a term.
Sure.
I think it should be prorated accordingly, mm-hmm. so it wouldn't be all or nothing if mm-hmm. you were filling a term. If it was 3 out of the 4 years, anyway.
Okay.
Oh.
If it was a 6 month, you wouldn't get to go to two.
Now you tell me.
I know.
After that, that's 6 years ago.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thanks. So that's taken care of. So, okay, we're almost an hour behind. 40 minutes about here. Officer elections. We need to take care of that real quick. The first. We need to run through the officer elections for the chairperson, the vice chair, and the secretary. I think there's a rule that we can't. I think there's a rule we can't do it all in one shot. So,
yeah. What
is it? Go ahead. Do I hear any nominations from the floor for, or from the group for chairperson?
I make a motion that we nominate Mike Hansen for chair.
Yeah.
Second.
I accept the nomination. Is there any other nominations for chairperson? Oh, wait a minute. Well, I can do the nominations.
Okay,
I can't handle the vote.
Right. Okay. Good point.
Is there any other nominations?
I move nomination cease.
Okay. Robert?
Yeah, those who are in favor of re-electing Mr. Michael Hansen as the chair of the board, say aye.
Aye.
You need to do a roll call vote.
Oh, yeah, all right. Chad?
Aye, yes.
Thank you very much. Do I skip over you? Michael?
Abstain.
Okay, Mark?
Yes.
Miss Becky?
Yes.
And I vote yes.
Okay.
That's right. Roll call.
Right. Yeah, that's actually one of those Open Meeting Act things. We are never allowed to do anything but a roll call vote.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the next one was for vice chair. Do I hear any nominations for vice chair?
I nominate Robert Newman.
Okay. Do you accept?
Yes, I do.
Do I hear any other nominations? Do I hear any other nominations?
Move nomination cease.
Do I hear any other nominations? Okay. Nominations have ceased. Have a vote for Robert to the vice chair. Chad?
Yes.
Robert?
I don't have to abstain.
You don't have to.
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Becky?
Yes.
Okay, and I vote yes. Okay.
Is there, and then we, do I hear any nominations for secretary?
I nominate Ms. Becky Reagan.
Executive secretary? Okay. Do you accept the nomination?
Yes.
Okay. Do I hear any other nominations? Do I hear any other nominations? Do I hear any other nominations? Okay. Then a vote to elect Becky again as executive secretary. Chad?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Becky?
Abstain.
Yes. Okay. Last time for public comment. If there's anyone from the public that would have that would like to speak at this time, take your name down.
Adrian.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Floor's yours, Adrian.
I was able to go to the actual convention with the students, and I want to say that I had two students come up to me and basically said they were affected by it. Two of them said they found mentors, which I feel we talked about earlier, and that shows that even though they may not have said it at that point when the Commissioner Mark went there, they were affected. I think it should be known that they may not have said it, but they were affected.
Well, if I could call it, that's great. We weren't looking for ammunition one way or another. I was trying to get feedback like you were, so that's... Jim made the comment, I didn't, so if you want to... Jim, what was your comment on that? Because I didn't...
It's okay.
Yeah, I didn't comment on it, so...
Regarding... Oh, yeah, I had... You want me to take the mic or no?
Sure.
I'll just take
it. It's up to Mike.
If you're, are you seeking the floor? I think the comment is fine the way it is.
Okay, well, that's fine.
If you feel you.
No, I don't need it. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I'll talk to you after meeting. That's fine.
Okay. Any other comments? All right. Typical final announcements. Our next board meeting is going to be, I believe, it's first Saturday in November.
November 5th.
And I want to say it's on. So it's on branding, website design, social media. I believe was a topic, wasn't it?
I do not remember at all.
I think so.
Yeah, I believe that's the topic, the focus topic.
In Omaha.
November's always in November.
November's always in Omaha.
Oh, Omaha.
Gotcha.
Omaha.
I do have a note to go over that.
Yes, please.
The focus topic will either be youth and adult training programs or websites, social media, brochures, etc.
There you go. There it was. And so, yes, it is. So, meeting announcement for that will be coming out at the beginning of October, I'm sure. And thank you, everybody, for coming.
Chair?
Yes?
Just to clarify so we can get prepared. So, which one will be the focus topic?
I'll get it to you.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
At least a week before.
Yeah.
At least a week before.
Joke.
Yes. So thank you, everybody, for coming. Congratulations to the elected officers. Thank you, everybody, for serving. And thank you for everybody's tolerance. And this ran a little bit long. We had extra topics. And I appreciate all the good discussion. We had a little bit more detail than we sometimes typically do. So everybody have a good drive home.
Need
it. Like to motion to adjourn.
No motion to adjourn.
Okay, loan me that. Okay.
Great to see.